is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. And by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle, coming to you from Reliant Park and the second week of OTAs, otherwise known as Organized Team Activities. Patty Smith alongside Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans, otherwise known as a prince of a man.
Well, we got an email saying that I was. They also said you were beautiful, so how about that?
And not ditzy. I like that part.
That's right. You're not.
Well, we had such a great time in Boston doing the show together. We thought we would do it one more time out here at OTAs. And, you know, for the fans who maybe aren't 100% sure what OTAs are and what goes on out here, similar to training camp, but not, just sort of kind of give us your overall view.
Well, as many years as I've worked with the Texans, Patty, people always ask, what does OTA stand for? Organized Team Activity, otherwise known as practice. That's what this is. 5 weeks of it. Now, it's really 4 weeks of OTAs, then a mini camp. But the coaches, trust me, look at it as 5 weeks of practice, 13 sessions with their players. Very valuable. Now, remember, back in days of yore, the Oilers, Love You Blue, they used to spend 6 weeks in San Angelo and places like that with training camp. You don't have that anymore. Training camp is 2 weeks. So this becomes your training camp. Now, they're not staying away from home. They're living in their houses or hotels for the younger guys, and they're here at the Methodist Training Center. And no, it's not the same kind of grind as back in the Junction Boys era, but what you get is 5 weeks of concentrated practices, then a bunch of weeks off, then training camp. Trust me, they know about 80% of what they need to know for the season when they hit training camp in late July. So these practices right now are extremely important to the success of the 2013 Texans.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the guys out here, as you said, you know, the veterans, the older guys, just kind of coming out here, reacclimating a little bit. But this is crucial for some of these younger guys. It's crucial for the coaches to not just see what they're capable of on the field, but I was talking to some of the coaches this morning before you came, seeing how they handle the drills, how they, you know, things they're not really used to doing in college.
It's timing, it's repetition. Think of a musician playing scale after scale, that kind of thing, or a golfer hitting ball after ball on the practice tee. They've got to get their reps in. Even the veterans, they want to get that timing down. But for the rookies, it's teaching them. There you hear the horn. That means call to action for the players. For the rookies, it's time to get acclimated to the NFL, learn how to practice well. So again, when training camp hits July 26th, they can practice hard from the get-go and get ready for the season. And another thing about these rookies, Patty, my goodness, for them, day one of OTAs, it's like the Super Bowl in terms of intensity. The veterans know how to kind of ease themselves into the situation.
Well, give us a little update on some news and notes, some happenings. Obviously, this week, Arian Foster, kind of the talk of the week with the strained calf. Big deal, not a big deal, and kind of just tell us what's going on.
Well, in a regular season situation, strained calf can be more serious than it sounds, but it's May. It's not a cause for alarm at this particular point for the Houston Texans. So, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about Arian Foster. There was a report on a national website. Arian Foster carted off the field with a calf injury. Wait a minute. That implies stretcher and everything. You know, by that logic, every player is carted off the field because they all ride carts back to the stadium. So let's not, you know, get too panicky about this. And I think it's not the worst thing in the world to get more reps for Ben Tate and for these young running backs like Dennis Johnson out of Arkansas and Ray Graham out of Pittsburgh, see how they look. You know, there's sort of a silver lining when you look at a guy getting less reps who's a veteran.
Two areas that seem to be getting a lot of attention, a lot of people are talking about, and that's the quarterback situation. Case Keenum looking great out here, and the linebackers. A lot of depth and a lot going on at the linebacker situation.
You know, it's funny, we had Andre Ware on Texans All Access this week on Texans Radio, and he said, you know, I like Case Keenum a lot too, but also it kind of pushes T.J. Yates a little bit too to hear all this praise that Gary Kubiak is heaping on Case Keenum. T.J. Yates, the backup quarterback, and he played in one of the most important games in team history with the playoff clinching win over the Bengals and then the playoff win over the Bengals, so two of them really, Patty. But they want to see more out of him as he enters year three of his career already. Keenum's intriguing, though. Throws the ball very well. He's learned a lot over the past year, and I'll be curious to see what he does in these preseason games coming up in August. The one thing for him, though, when you're out here with the threes, you know, you're with the third-teamers. It's tough to get those reps with first-team, second-team guys and make yourself look as good as possible. But he's having success throwing to Alan Bonner, the sixth-round draft choice out of Jacksonville State, who's another intriguing player out here. We'll just see how it goes.
Linebackers?
You know, with the linebackers, Brooks Reed inside. He can play inside, Patty. We all know Brooks Reed is a good outside linebacker, and especially in the playoffs and all of that, but they wanted to see how he looked inside. They're very impressed so far with what Brooks Reed is doing. Now, outside, you have Brian Braman, you have Sam Montgomery, the rookie from LSU, getting some reps. Of course, Whitney Mercilus in his second year. Trevardo Williams, the rookie for the University of Connecticut. You know, those guys have to learn the ropes. And Braman, he knows there's a learning curve involved.
Every year, learning the defense, you know, making sure that I'm confident in what I'm supposed to be doing, and just going out there and giving 110%.
And Patty, it's key for Brian Braman and guys like Sam Montgomery and Trevardo Williams to step up, because that enables Reed to stay inside if that's ultimately what the coaches want.
And staying in the linebacker mode here, it's great to see Brian Cushing out here. He's on the other field, but he's working out, looks good, and it's just great to see him out here.
Yeah, Cushing absolutely needs to come back. We all saw what the absence created last year, the drop-off in defensive productivity. I liken it to losing Matt Schaub in 2011. Losing Cushing in 2012 was almost equally as devastating for the Texans defense as it was for the offense to lose Schaub the year before.
And each and every day we check in with head coach Gary Kubiak after practice and find out what's going on. So let's see what he has to say today.
How about your quarterbacks from yesterday compared to today?
How were they today compared to yesterday?
They were better today. They struggled a little bit yesterday, especially in some 7-on-7 stuff, but that's part of it. And come back today and, you know, pretty darn good today. So actually let TJ and Kay split the team portion of practice today with the first group, and held Matt out. Want to see those guys operate with our ones, and both of them I thought had pretty good practice.
You talk about the growth of TJ?
Yeah, he's, you know, TJ's career has been interesting because it was like boom at once, you know, and so many great things happened that year, and confidence is, you know, sky high. And then you come back your second year and, you know, played in the preseason. I played about 20 snaps during the regular season, and it seemed like nothing went right in those 20 snaps. And, you know, as part of being a backup quarterback, because you hinge on that confidence for long periods of time. So just need to get him going again. He's working hard. He's doing good stuff. He's getting pushed extremely hard. And what is this now, year three? So, I'm expecting him to continue to grow as a player.
Coach, what about Tate?
Ben?
Yeah.
Ben's fine. John, he obviously steps up today and works as the starter. But Ben's been working good either way. He's had a really good offseason. He's been here every day. And, you know, opportunity for him this next six practices to – you know, to be the bell cow, so to speak, and that'll be good for him in the long haul.
It's OTAs right now, so it's not really a big deal to me. OTAs, no pads on. I mean, what is there to judge on OTAs? There's no pads. It's not football. Mm-hmm. So I could really care less right now about, you know, getting the extra reps. I mean, it's not really a big deal to me. I know what I'm doing. I've been here long enough. So, I mean, if it's, you know, training camp or, you know, going into the season, then that's great. But right now, I mean, it's always better to keep perfecting your craft. But other than that, I mean, it's not a big deal to me.
Then in general, how do you view the significance of the coming season for you?
It's a big one. It's my last year of my contract. It's always a big one. Mm-hmm. Every year is a big year, though.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Mark and I, as we mentioned, were in Boston last week for the announcement of Super Bowl 51, and we will give you some players' reaction to having the Super Bowl here in Houston.
And we talked defensive players. There's a forgotten man in the mix, and Drew Doherty will catch up with him later on in the show.
This portion of Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Before the last break, Mark sort of teased us a little about a defensive forgotten man, and I've been at the edge of my seat. Who is it?
Well, it's Daryl Sharpton, Patty, who wasn't able to finish the last two seasons, but when he's out there, he plays really well. Here's Drew Doherty on how Sharpton's been approaching this offseason.
What's it like, though, after, you know, the way the season ended, being back out there with the guys? And you know, you don't typically, you're not typically the guy that's, you know, calling things up, but now you are.
Right. It's something I haven't done in a while since I was at University of Miami. But being put in this role, it feels good. I know a whole lot more about the defense, having to call the plays and line more guys up. So it's extra responsibility, but I look forward to it. And so far, so good.
How's that been? You know, last time you were doing this was Coral Gables, but I imagine it never leaves you. It's kind of like riding a bicycle, perhaps?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. I mean, my first 2 or 3 years here, I was used to just you know, getting the calls and just kind of listening and lining up, and now I'm the one making the calls. So, but yeah, it's kind of like riding a bike. Now I feel like I'm getting the hang of it.
The linebacking core around you, the outside guys, the guys next to you on the inside, some differences there. What have you seen? And you got to look at it on film, and we're so, you know, early in, but what have you seen initially from some of those guys?
I see a lot of explosiveness, athletic ability. I mean, playing with Brooks and Tavardo, two guys that stick out as two super fast, explosive guys that are really going to be helpful to this team this year.
Yeah, and Brooks has, it seemed like a kind of a natural slide for him, right?
Exactly. I mean, he's like a natural inside backer. He comes downhill with like a bat out of hell, and he's very explosive. And I mean, when a fullback meets him in the hole, he's going to have a big surprise.
Might these changes, just defensively as a whole, including the secondary, including the guys in front of you, might you guys be a little bit faster this season as a defense?
I think so. I'm looking forward to it, especially, you know, when we get Cush back. I know he's going to be better than ever. He's so motivated to come back at the top of his game. So I'm really excited about all the things we're going to do on defense.
All right, thank you, Drew. Time now for our Houston Community College Smart Decision segment. And we can probably say, without any argument, that the smartest decision made this week or this month was the NFL awarding Houston Super Bowl 51.
And Texans players had plenty of reaction to Houston getting the big game in a few years.
It's exciting for, you know, the players. It's more exciting for the city of Houston than anything. And, you know, with a team that we have here and the way the organization is built, there's a great opportunity for to be playing a home game for a Super Bowl, and I don't think it's ever been done before, but there's always a first time for everything, so why not in Houston?
When I first heard it, my wife was like excited. I was like, it doesn't mean that we play in the Super Bowl here. It's only being held here. But for us, it's good, you know, for the overall organization, you know, have that thing. Some guys never get it at all in their city. For us to have it twice here in Houston, you know, obviously you want to play in that game and be a part of that game, but just, you know, for the city and the fans, they deserve something like that every now and then to come around.
As a fan of the game, as a fan of the sport, I think it's awesome. I mean, I wasn't here when the Super Bowl was here back in 04, but I remember hearing about it, and it was a huge success for the city of Houston, so I'm anxious to be able to see how that's going to go. Obviously, it's a ways away, but, you know, I'm hoping that we're in a position that year to be able to kind of capitalize on having a home field advantage here. That would be huge, but I think it's just going to be a tremendous uplift for the city financially. I mean, everything you can think of is just going to be able to help everything out, and I'm interested to see how what works with the dome. So
I love it. I love that idea. You know, I love the city. The city is fun. I think it'll be a perfect city, you know, for a Super Bowl. It's so much to do, so many restaurants, you know, and that's, you know, that's what the fans like. They like to come see the city and then enjoy the game. I think that we have one of the best stadiums in the NFL. So, you know, all of that combined together, you know, a Super Bowl is bound to come, man.
That's awesome. Because, you know, you grew up watching the Super Bowl, and I've never actually been to one. I'm like, all right, I actually want to play in one before that. But if not, hey, I'm going to get to go to the Super Bowl. It's here. And just all the atmosphere it's going to bring here and the fans. And the Super Bowl, it's a huge event, and just everybody gets excited for that. So we definitely have that marked on my calendar.
Sick, definitely. to have that, you know, for Houston to get that, it's huge. You know, puts the city on the map, no doubt. Super Bowl was in New Orleans. I bet that was crazy. Didn't get a good chance to go, but for it to come here, you know, and if, you know, that year that we go to the Super Bowl, that would be pretty awesome. Playing it, you know, being in our own city,
we got to be in it. No questions asked. We got to be in it. You know, to be in our stadium for two other teams to be here playing and us having to watch it, that'd definitely suck. So, you know, right now, you know, we definitely working on this. What it'll be 2014 Super Bowl. We're definitely working to get to this one. But you know, once 2017 gets here. I mean, we have to be in it by any means necessary, you know. So that's all I can think about.
It's never happened before.
It's never happened. So hey, it had to be the first to happen that year. So we'll see.
All right, we have to take our next time out here on Texans. What are you doing?
I'm sending in a question to Facebook Mailbag because I know that's coming up.
Oh my gosh, it is coming up. Stay with us.
This portion of Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Houston Community College, the official education partner of the Houston Texans.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle as OTAs continue behind us and the rain is coming down. What's this going to do to my hair?
I think your hair will be fine, Patty.
Yeah, well,
it's lovely.
You know, it's not the only thing that happens on these fields. In fact, the Texans utilize them in the offseason.
That's right. Sometimes camps. In fact, Jonathan Joseph and Andre Johnson taught some kids out here recently.
If you want to put your hands up, it's okay. Come here. Stop.
I always said if I was able to make it, you know, to play in the NFL, you know, I'll always give back, you know, to the community I grew up in and whatever city I was playing in. So that's all I try to do, you know, is just give back to the kids.
Anytime you have a chance just to give back to the community like this and have a chance to go out and interact with the kids just to see a smile on their face and come out here and, you know, just show them the basic fundamentals and techniques and things like that, it's just always a pleasure because as a child growing up, you always idolize certain people and look up to guys and just have a feeling to come back and just show those guys the techniques and things like that. It's just a great feeling.
But the main thing is you're going to get your feet parallel so you can go either way.
If football is something they really want to do, you know, just you know, work hard at it. You know, some of these drills that they do out here are some of the same drills that we do. And, you know, just once I was in their position and I had the dream of making it to the NFL and, you know, wanting to play in the NFL and I accomplished it. So just whatever dream they have, you know, don't give up on it and don't let nothing deter them from their dream.
Once you have kids yourself and you just see it, it makes it even more important to you because your kids idolize you so much. And at the same time, when you come out here, have a chance to be around some of these other kids that idolize you just as much and don't have a chance to see you each and every day, it just makes you want to go out and just touch those kids in a different way.
It's definitely important to do community work where you play at, you know, to reach out to the community. And, you know, people get to see what type of person you are, you know. They don't only get to see what type of person you are as a football player. They get to know you personally. And I think that's a big thing, you know, because people are able to, you know, just make judgments off just, you know, what they see or what they hear. But I think when they get a chance to, you know you on a personal level, you know, it just goes to show what type of, you know, person you are and, you know, what you mean to the community.
Without the community, you couldn't be here. You know, those guys come out and support you each and every Sunday. So you always want to go and show your thanks because at the end of the day, those guys are want to support you. And if, you know, you don't give your support to those guys, you want the same support on Sunday because if you show up to a stadium that's empty, it's hard for you to go out and play.
Always great to see the Texans involved in the community. You know, they're so good at that from top to bottom.
Patty, it's amazing. The Houston Texans Foundation, the Robert and Janice McNair Foundation, they're all over it. In fact, Bob McNair last week donated $100,000 to tornado relief in Oklahoma. Just amazing stuff.
Definitely one of the best owners in the business, as was evidenced by his peers up in Boston. They said the same thing about him.
Yeah, we had it at the end of the show last week. Jerry Jones saying Bob McNair is probably the best owner in the National Football League. Wow, from Jerry. That's great.
Maybe he's listing my vote for Dallas at one of the future Super Bowls. But we're good friends, and I appreciate that very much. It's very kind of him.
Now, Mark has just informed me during that interview that he has to bail. The weather is wreaking havoc with his hair.
That's not true. I have to watch practice. I would participate, but that would be bad for everybody.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, either way, thanks for being here. I'm going to finish up the show with Nick on the other side. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and by Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are.
Time now for Facebook Mailbag. Patty Smith alongside Nick Scherfield. We've got some great questions today. Nick, you ready?
Ready.
All right, let's bring it on. Juliet Dawson wants to know how Arian Foster is doing.
That's the big question that everybody's wanted to know this week after Arian Foster left the practice field. That calf injury on Tuesday at OTA is a scary injury because it was non-contact. He limped off the field with some assistance, but he's okay. Gary Kubiak said he's not going to participate in the rest of OTAs over the next couple of weeks, but he will be fine for training camp. Might have to be here more during the summer to do rehab and things like that, but a calf strain is what they called it. So nothing, it sounds like, is going to require surgery, and nothing that'll keep him out when the action really counts.
All right, Marcus Texan Jones has a question. With all the discussions about Case Keenum's progress, it leads him to believe that the Texans don't care about T.J. Yates. Where does all this lead to?
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that at all. You know, the Texans have been given a lot of praise to Case Keenum, Garrett Kubiak in particular, this offseason. He's impressed with how far he's come from an undrafted rookie free agent out of Houston to where he is now playing in a pro-style offense versus what they did at U of H. But that doesn't mean they don't like what T.J. Yates is doing as well. T.J. Yates has shown a lot of progress, too. He's had a very interesting career. Kubiak talked about him this week, saying he played a lot as a rookie, led the Texans to that playoff victory, and then he went back on the bench, and things didn't seem to go right for him whenever he played in the limited reps last year. But he's got experience, and that's so important for a backup quarterback, a young guy, still with potential. And it's going to be a competition, I think, between the two of those guys all offseason long. But because they're talking about Keenum, doesn't mean they don't like Yates. They feel very good about where he is and want to see him continue to progress.
Nothing wrong with a good, healthy competition for them to either, you know, just push each other. All right, Eric Silva, our final question. Do you think Whitney Mercilus is going to have a breakout season like J.J. Watt did last year?
Well, it'd be nice if everyone could have the kind of season J.J. Watt did last year. I think the Texans would be a lock for this Super Bowl and Super Bowls for years to come. You're not going to see a season like that happen very often, but the Texans certainly expect Whitney Mercilus to take a step forward. It's his second year. You always hear Kubiak say, year one to year two is when guys make their biggest leap. Mercilus had 6 sacks last year, starting only 4 games, so he was a rotational player. Now he's a full-time starter in that will position, going to get a lot of opportunities. He's looked good so far in the offseason, and I think they're certainly expecting him to make a big step forward in 2013.
Yeah, and we had a chance to talk to him today, and he said he's expecting big things from himself. Just take that sack total, multiply it times 4, and he's good with that.
That'd be nice.
All right, great stuff, Nick. Be sure to go to the Houston Texans Facebook fan page, and you too can submit your question to the Facebook mailbag. That's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be back with us next week for another edition of Texans Huddle right here on Fox Sports Southwest.